verse 37 here. John 18:37 says, Pilate therefore said unto him, Art thou a king then? And Jesus answered, Thou sayest that I'm a king. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. Pilate saith unto him, What is truth? And when he had said this, he went out again to the Jews and saith to them, I find no fault at all. Notice here that Jesus is talking about the truth. And Pilate just asked him. He says, What is truth? And then he went out and he said, I can't find anything that he's guilty of. And I started thinking about that, how Jesus is the truth. God himself is the truth. The Holy Ghost is the truth. The Word of God is the truth. Right? So when you start talking about what is truth, you have to look and see that God the Father, God the Son, God the Spirit, and God the Word, that's all truth. And that's a truth that you can understand that's forever settled in heaven. And it'll never change. So when we're doing what the Word says, we're actually doing what the truth is. Now, there's a lot of people, they've got their own versions of the truth. They believe this and they believe that and they think that to be true. But I'm going to tell you, if it doesn't line up with the Word of God, it's not truth. Amen. It doesn't matter if people are going to church. If their doctrine doesn't line up with the Word of God, then it's just religion. And there's a lot of religion. You can turn the TV on and turn on some of the Christian channels and you'll see a lot of religious programming. But there's not a lot of actual worship to God going on because it's all about man-made religion. So our truth has got to line up with the Word of God. We can't just do our own version. Proverbs 16:25 says, There's a way that seemeth right to a man. Notice that. There's a way that seems right to a man, but the end thereof are of the ways of death. In other words, you think it's right. There's a way that seems right to a man, but it's going to cause him death. What's that mean? Spiritual death. It'll take him to hell. Because your way of thinking that's right might not be lined up with the truth of the Word of God. And it's sad that there's a whole lot of that going on. See, a partial truth is still a lie. Amen. I know we try to stretch things and manipulate things, but a partial truth is still a lie. Let me show you over here. Go with me to Genesis. See, this is where it all started. This is where that came in. Genesis chapter 3, look at verse 1. It says, Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, Yea, hath God said, Ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said to the serpent, We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, Ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said to the woman, Ye shall not surely die, for God doth know that in that day that you eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise. She took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together, and made themselves aprons. Now, I want to just stop there. We could read on through it. But what I want you to see here, notice that the devil comes to him and says, Has God said this? Well, already, he says he knows what God said. And then she says, Yes, this is what he said. And then, see, here's where the serpent comes in with a little partial truth. He says, God knows that if you eat of that tree, your eyes are going to be opened and you're going to be like God. And so she sees the tree. It's pretty. There's that thought echoing in her head. We'll be like God. And so she takes of the tree and eats the fruit, gives it to Adam there, and their eyes were opened. Partial truth. But they didn't see what they expected to see. Instead of seeing like gods or being like gods, they saw their shame. They saw their nakedness. Before that, they were totally innocent. They didn't even realize that they were naked. They didn't know what nakedness was. But because they believed the partial truth, which was a lie, went ahead and eat of that fruit, went against God, now all of a sudden they're in trouble. You see, so I want us to see that partial truths, you've got to be careful. White lies. Anybody ever heard that term? It's just a white lie because it's just a partial truth or it's a little lie. See, so we have to be careful to understand that we need to be operating in truth if we want the fullness of God operating in our lives. Amen. Operating in white lies or part lies, you know. And a lie doesn't necessarily have to be, you know, something that you say. It can be something that you do. It can be a deception of some kind, you know. So you have to watch because the devil's always trying to manipulate us with partial truths. But it still lies, and so we have to be careful. Look over here with me in 2 Timothy. Let me show you something over here. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Look what it says in verse 1. We're going to start. I went the wrong direction. 2 Timothy. I wented too far. Just a second. I didn't go far enough. I'm sorry. Second Timothy 3, look what it says here in verse 1. This know also, that in the last days, perilous times shall come. Notice dangerous, perilous times. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. Notice that. You see that? Lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. Now, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. For of this sort are they which crept into houses and led captive silly women laden with sins, led away with divers lust, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth, men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith. Now, look what it just said. Things that we see today, right? Number one, perilous times. It is dangerous times. Amen. I was reading a thing today where somebody went in a household just over in Paintsville. You know, we've been protected a long time, folks, but I'm telling you, you know, the devil's here. And he's here to steal, kill, and destroy. So we are living in dangerous times. We've talked about how we as kids, we'd get out and run up and down the roads. We'd gather together at the schools and play out in the play yards, and we'd run through the hills. We played in the creeks. We were outside generation, you know, and nobody was ever worried about us. The only time they get worried is if it started getting late at night and they hadn't heard anything from us. They'd start getting worried like that. But all day long, we'd be outside playing. Even if you didn't come in to eat, they wouldn't worry about you because they knew you'd be all right. Because if you weren't around your house, you was around one of the neighbor's house, and the neighbor would take care of you just like you was one of their kids. They'd feed you when they fed their kids or whatever. But we're not living in those times anymore. We're not living in times where I would want Lillian walking from my house, you know, and I live almost the same place I grew up at, just up to that schoolhouse. By herself, because there's so many idiots in the world, and there's such an evilness in the world right now with the enemy and everything that he's doing. Now God's still good. Don't get me wrong. I don't want to shed that kind of light, but I just want you to understand that we do live in perilous times. The good news is we have Jesus in our life, and no matter what kind of times it is, we're still as greater as He that's in us than He that's in the world. Okay? But He says that there's perilous times, and then He goes into this lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. Well, I mean, that's going on right now, folks. You're seeing that. They're lovers of themselves. They're pretending, men pretending to be women, women pretending to be men. I was talking to somebody today that dropped their child off to college. He said, "Man, you wouldn't have believed what I saw." And I said, "Yeah, I believe what you saw because it's everywhere. It's everywhere." And, you know, here's the thing, folks. It used to be something that was a shame. But now there's no morals, so there's nothing to be ashamed of. Unless you know God and know the truth, that's their version of the truth. It's some man's version of the truth to think that he's a woman, and vice versa. That's a lie. That's not who you are. That's who the devil's telling you are, and you believe in his lies, and that's what's causing you to be detrimental to yourself.
That's right. Amen.
Amen. And so it says that, you know, he says that there'll be lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. Well, you know, it's not just a sexual thing. Lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. You know, a lot of our hobbies are pleasures. Right? You know, for a lot of people, sports are pleasures. Right? Come on, see, you get mad at me if you want to. But there's all kinds of pleasures like that in the world that we like to do and things that we enjoy. But we can't, and God doesn't mind for most of us doing those things, but we can't love that more than we love God. We can't be a lover of the pleasure more than a lover of God. And the truth is, there's a world out there that does not love God. So their plan and schedule will always be different than God's schedule. They'll plan everything on Wednesday nights. They'll plan it on Sunday. They'll plan it any time because they have no thought that this is a God night. They have no thought of that. This is just a free night that we can do something we have pleasure in. And so there's a lot of the pleasures that are out there that people love more than they do love God. You know, they say we love God, but you know, when it comes down to it, you know, put your money where your mouth's at. Right? If you love God, be in His house. Come and worship Him. Well, I'm afraid my kid might miss something. Yeah, they might. They might miss heaven. I'd be more afraid of them missing heaven than I would them missing a ball game or missing this and missing that or whatever it is. I'm sorry, but you know, I mean, again, there ain't a thing in the world wrong with sports. I know a lot of kids that are in sports, it keeps them out of trouble. But at the same time, it keeps them out of church. Which means they get in trouble. Right? They got to know to do good to do it. Amen. So, I mean, I know it's this way everywhere. Every pastor I talk to, this is a frustration with them. Good people that are being called out and pulled out by, you know, different kinds of things that they get involved in, the different kinds of events. And believe me, they've got them all now. Right? I mean, it used to be just a couple things, you know, baseball, basketball or something. Now, I mean, what ain't they got? I mean, if you can see it on TV, on ESPN, they're doing it in the schools now. Whether they can do it elect or not. Okay, I need to move on. But anyway, he says there'll be lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. Notice this, he says, they have a form of godliness, but they deny the power thereof. See, having a form of godliness is religion. Having a form of godliness is saying I'm a child of God, but not proving you're a child of God by doing what you're supposed to do as a child of God. Amen. Having a form of godliness is having church and coming together, but there's no power operating in the church. The Holy Spirit doesn't get to do anything in the church, you see. You have to be careful because that's having a form of godliness, but denying the power of. Because when you deny the Holy Ghost, when you deny the gifts of the Spirit, when you deny God doing miracles and signs and wonders and healing, you're denying the power of God because that is the power of God. You remember Paul talking, he said, you know, my preaching was not with enticing words of man's speech. Right? He said, I didn't just come here to preach to you, to talk to you. He said, but I came so in preaching with demonstration. Power of the Holy Ghost. operating, right? See, that's what ought to be happening in churches. Anybody can get up and do a sermon. Yeah, you can. Whether you believe it or not, you can. You can get up here and talk. But that don't mean there'll be any power behind it. It don't mean you'll see signs, wonders, and miracles. It don't mean the Holy Spirit will move in it. We need the power of the Spirit. Without the power of the Spirit, we're out. Right? Signs, wonders, demonstrations, that's the thing we need. We don't need a form of godliness without the power there. Notice here he says they're ever learning and never coming to the knowledge of the truth. Ever learning. In other words, they'll get books, they'll read books, they'll do this and they'll do that. And here's the thing. If you don't ever read the truth, you can't ever come to the knowledge of the truth. You can't just believe something and find people that believe what you believe and say, okay, I'm good, that's the truth. Whatever you believe better be backed by the Word of God. Whatever you're learning, you better be learning from the Word of God or something that is backed by the Word of God, and you can prove out what this says by the Word of God. And if you can't prove that out by this, then you better stay away from that. Because the ever-learning will never get you to the knowledge of the truth. We need the truth. We need the knowledge of the truth. I want the Word of God no matter what. I'm going to tell you something, and this is the truth for me. When I first heard about a tithe, it just tore me to pieces. I know you all did, and I know you always like, hallelujah. Hallelujah, I get to give 10% to God. Hallelujah. No, I'll be honest, it was tough. But it was the truth. And I'm not going to tell you I just jumped right in because it was the truth. I wrestled with it. But I realized if the Word said it, then it was true. And if it was true, God said He'd do what He said He'd do. And so I could have that done to me if I would do what He told me to do. And I promise you, God has never let me down. He's always been there. He's always been good to me. He's always blessed me. Even when I've messed up some messes before. He was still right there to pull me out. Thank God for that. You see, but you've got to have that knowledge of the truth before that's going to take effect in your life. And you've got to receive that as truth. There's a lot of people know it's the truth to tithe. They should be, but they don't. And they think right now, oh, I'm doing pretty good. Listen, consequences always are down the road. You can think, but be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Amen. So you don't have to you don't have to believe the truth right now. Things can go real good for a while, but sooner or later the truth's going to hit you right in the face, and you're going to have to realize, I've been sowing some bad seed, and I'm reaping a bad harvest because of it. Come on, I'd rather make sure I'm sowing good seed, would you? Make sure I'm tithing and giving the way Pastor Ed and we just make sure that, I've been blessed before people reach me a $100 bill, whatever. You tithed on that yet? Yep, or nope. Make sure you put that in there, but it gets tithed on. Amen. Well, yeah, but that's somebody just gave that to you for a gift. That's right. God gave it to me. Amen. No, a person gave it to you. That person gave it to me because God gave it to me.
That's right.
Yeah. You can do whatever you want. Thank God. Thank the person. That's awesome. We should be blessing one another. But it ain't just that person. It's God through that person that's blessing you. That's Him making you a blessing.
Amen.
And that's the truth. And it's a truth that's not preached. People don't want to hear it because when you start talking about money, they get nervous and get tore up and get mad and frustrated and all that. But I'm going to tell you something. If you get a hold of the truth and receive the truth, you'll see after a while things starting to turn over, starting to change. Now, it might not. Matter of fact, probably the first time you start giving and tithing like you should, things will get tough. Because the devil's going to try his best to choke you out and make you think it don't work. Because he knows. But see, here's what the deal is. It's kind of like a water hose, and the devil's trying to choke it off. But what he don't see is way back here behind there's building up this big old bubble. And that's building up pressure. And all of a sudden that pressure is going to break off his hold and you're going to get showered with blessing. God starts operating in your life. You see the blessing come and you see the truth in action. You see, that's what we got to know. We can't just be ever learning about it. We need to do it if we want to come to the knowledge of the truth. And then he goes on and he says this. He says, the reprobate concerning the faith. Notice that. Reprobate concerning the faith. You know what that means? They just don't believe the truth. They don't believe the word, so they're making shipwreck faith. Their faith is not working. It does not operate because they're reprobate concerning the faith. Notice this, concerning the faith. Well, without faith, it's impossible to please God. Right? It puts them in a bad place. But you see, that's what will happen if we're not keeping ourselves in the truth. Now, these kind of people really, they don't want to know the truth. They don't want to know the truth. Now, here's the thing about God's promises and what God says in His Word. It shall come to pass. Whether you believe it or not, it shall come to pass. You can go ahead, just keep right on cursing yourself, or you can get yourself over into blessing. Both of them is going to come to pass. If you're under the curse, cursing will come. If you're under the blessing, blessing will come. You choose. That's what God said, right? I set before you this day, blessing and cursing, life and death. Choose life that you and your family can live. See, so God wants us to get over into that. Now, look over here in John chapter 8. I'll give you a little proof of what I'm talking about. John chapter 8, verse 42. I'll hurry up. John 8, 42. Jesus said to them, if God were your Father, you would love me. For I proceeded forth and came from God. Neither came I of myself, but He sent me. Why do you not understand my speech? Even because you cannot hear my word. Ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar, and the father of it. And because I tell you the truth, you believe me not. Which of you convinceth me of sin? And if I say the truth, why do you not believe me? He that is of God heareth God's word. Ye therefore hear them not, because you're not of God. Notice here what he says. He says, you know, which one of you can prove anything on me? Convinces me of sin. Which one of you can say I've sinned? And he knew nobody could because he was without sin. And he said, well, why is it then you don't believe the words I say? You know what he said? He said, because you're not of God. God, you're not your Father. If Jesus said it, we better believe it. It's the truth. Right? He said, I've told you the truth. You just don't want to believe the truth. And that's a lot of folks just don't want to hear the truth. You can show it to them from the Word of God, but they'll say, nah, I just don't believe it that way. Well, they don't believe the truth. They believe a lie of some kind, something that's been made up or something they've been taught all their life. Listen, church, we've been taught a lot of things all of our life that are wrong. Don't line up with the Word of God. And you know, it's up to us. We can try to keep tradition if you want to and go that way if you want to. But I'd rather get over here on the truth lane. Amen. I want to be lined up with what God says. You know, in Acts chapter 7, I'll not go read it for sake of time, but remember, Stephen began to preach to the people and he's telling them about Christ and how they crucified Christ and how that, you know, that their ancestors were responsible for it. Well, they wanted Stephen to shut up and Stephen just kept right on preaching. Now, Saul was right there, you know, who later became Paul. But Stephen just keeps preaching, you know. And, you know, he starts telling them how that they were part of that generation that crucified the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Bible says, while he's talking, they stopped up their ears and ran upon him. What was they doing? They didn't want to hear the truth. All Stephen was trying to do was get them over into Christ, get them over into the truth, get them over into the blessing, but they didn't want to hear it. And so they stopped up. Can you imagine being driven so much by the devil that you would throw your hands over your ears, stop up your ears, and run at somebody and try to run them down? They eventually went ahead and stoned him there. Now think about that for a minute. They hated the truth so much. that they killed the man over telling the truth. I really believe that there's people in this on this earth right now that will kill you over the truth. A whole lot more than what you think. Because of all the stuff that's going on. They don't want the truth out. And they don't want the truth of the word out. Because the truth will change your life. Now, John 8, 31, 32, it says this. Then Jesus said to those Jews which believed on him, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Notice that you'll know the truth, and the truth will make you free. Let's go one more scripture. I'll close out with this. This is the reason that we should know the truth right here. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, real quickly. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 1 says, now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, and by our gathering together to him, that you be not soon shaken in mind or troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter as from us, as that the day of the Christ is at hand. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Remember ye not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things? And now you know what withholdeth, that he might be revealed in his time. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work, only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. And then shall the wicked be revealed, from the Lord shall be consumed with it, be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit out of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming, even him whose cunning is after the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they received not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. Notice what he's saying here. He says, listen, there are those that are listening to the devil, and those folks, God's going to allow them to be deceived because they refuse to hear the truth. You see, if you won't hear the truth, the devil will tell you a lie. Matter of fact, he's telling you lies all the time, but you've got to let the truth quench out those lies. You and I have to make up our mind to receive the truth. It matters what you believe. It matters. Make sure you're believing the truth. Amen? All right. Come on, stand with me. We need to stand.